Hello, respected viewers. It's George Upham Ireland. Here I am at the entrance to the Oxford Union Society. So that is the Debating Society of Oxford University, but it's not actually controlled by the university. So it was founded 200 years ago, but its original location was not here. It's on what now King Edward Street near a club called Vincent's. Anyway, it only moved here about 1878. So until then, there were small debating societies in the colleges of Oxford. There are now 39 colleges as part of Oxford University, but back then it was rather few, it was more like 20. Obviously, it was a boys-only university. Anyone who came up had to subscribe to the 39 Articles of the Church of England. They didn't actually have to be a member of the Church of England, but there had to be someone, a Christian, who didn't object to their too, like a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Methodist might in good conscience subscribe to that, though a Roman Catholic could not, of course, because they had to say they believe that that the Bishop of Rome hath no authority in this realm of England. Anyway, the colleges often didn't allow religious topics and certain contentious political ones to be debated, but this was found that it was outside the control of the university. One of the leading lights of the Oxford Union in its very early days was a certain William Ewart Gladstone, son of a prominent Tory MP, John Gladstone's. Yeah, it was Gladstone's, not Gladstone in those days. A Liverpool merchant who made his fortune by selling human beings and profiting from their labour in the Caribbean, had large plantations in the West Indies. And of course, his labourers were not free. So that was one of the hot topics of debate in the early days. Should slavery be abolished? And William Ewart Gladstone, he fervently argued that it should not. Anyway, this is inside the debating chamber. And I remember I went to a lecture there, my goodness, it's over 20 years ago now, by the late Lord Jenkins of Hillhead, then the Chancellor of the University, and he was sometime President of the Oxford Union. And Lord Jenkins, he was a Labour politician, Home Secretary, was he Foreign Secretary as well? And what else did Jenkins say? He also argued that he was saying how when he was here, when Gladstone was here, Gladstone was a real obscurantist. There's the playground of power. There's a famous book about it Peter Walter, a sometime Times correspondent in Paris, or BBC correspondent, one time Liberal parliamentary candidate, alas and alack, unsuccessful, calls it playground of power. So I can't remember who said it. Whoever catches the eye of the president in that debating chamber may eventually catch the eye of the world. So they often went on to distinguish political careers. But not that many prime ministers. Edward Heath, the Conservative Prime Minister, 1970 to 74. When Maggie Thatcher was here during the Second World War, ladies were not permitted to join. Women weren't allowed to join in 1973. There was life membership of the Oxford Union, if you want to join for life, rather than just your time at Oxford. Since the 1930s, there have been proposals for women to join, because women had been admitted to the university in 1874, but they couldn't actually take degrees until 1920. Obviously, women were a small minority. It's not till about the noughties that they reached parity in numbers with males. So there have been all sorts of proposals to admit undergraduates to membership. Women could often come, they could often sit up in the gallery and hear debates. Eventually, women were elected to Parliament. Some women could even participate in debates as guest speakers. They weren't members of the society, they were invited from wherever. The speakers here were often not members of the society, they're politicians or whatever, or writers or filmmakers, opinion makers from anywhere in the world. But women couldn't actually join the society. They could come in as guests sometime. And there were proposals to allow women to join, but often not on an equal footing, simply because they realised that was too much for many of the members to accept. So we'll get women in the door and gradually we'll work up till they have full equality. Could women join as temporary members, not life members? Could they join to speak but not have voting rights? Or maybe the voting rights, they can't be elected or something like that. But anyway, so the egalitarians had trouble because they said the older people, the life members who'd graduated years before, doddery old chaps, they were mostly against, where the junior generation was mostly in favour. But finally in 1963 it was voted that women would be allowed to join the Oxford Union Society, and they got full equality straight away. And until about 4 years later, for the first woman to be elected president of the Oxford Union, and some years after that, the president and the second, third and fourth most important people, the librarian, the treasurer and the secretary, were all ladies. Oh yeah, you'll see above the door 1878. I'll film inside it sometime. So It's got lots of fire regulations. So, yeah, Harold Macmillan was very involved. He was the Prime Minister, 1957 to 63, and he was a librarian. He was due to be president in 1914, but just before his term began, the First World War broke out. So he volunteered for the Grenadier Guards, went off and fought in the First World War. He considered coming back to Oxford after the First World War, but he said, "For me, it was a city of ghosts. So many of his friends had been killed." And he never completed his degree. He was later Chancellor of the University. So that's a post which is held for life. It's now held by a Tory wet, Lord Chris Patten, the last governor of Hong Kong. This is, so upstairs there's the Macmillan Room or Macmillan Restaurant. It doesn't actually serve as a restaurant anymore. It's only if they're having a dinner for a debate, they'll do that. But remember, in the old days, you could have lunch in there any day. And there's, I'll film inside at another occasion. I just think who was terribly involved? Well, I mean, Sir Stafford Northcote, he was involved, and he was leader of the Conservative Party in the House of Commons in the 1870s. George Nathaniel Curzon, who was president, later Viceroy of India. There was a ditty, some of these Balliol verses, when it was a Balliol in the 1880s. "My name is George Nathaniel Curzon, I'm a most superior person. My cheek is pink, my hair is sleek, I dine at Blenheim once a week." Blenheim being Blenheim Palace, which is a few miles north of Oxford, where Winston Churchill was born. Churchill, incidentally, didn't attend any university. After Harrow School, he went to Sandhurst Royal Military Academy and became a cavalry officer. So that's the plaque put by Sir Stafford Northcote when this building was built. This was a sort of foundation stone in 1878. And there's a memorial bench to Sir John Stokes, who was a well-known Conservative MP, who was here in the 1930s. He was a rival in AUCA, Oxford University Conservative Association, of Ted Heath. And Stokes was a bit controversial because he supported the nationalist side in the Spanish Civil War. So all sorts of people have spoken here. I'm just trying to think, the late Senator John McCain, Richard Nixon came just after he became the first president in US history to resign. And he's famously said, "I screwed up and I paid the price." O.J. Simpson came here. Rabbi Shmuley Botech used to speak here a lot when he was the head of Chabad House in the late 90s. Michael Jackson spoke here. You could obviously see it for free if you're a member of the Oxford Union. And the Oxford Union, despite the huge cost of it, said we're very keen that this be gratis for members, because then it'll be the only place in the world you can go and see Michael Jackson for free. He was speaking about his children's charity. He wasn't singing. I just think, who else might you have heard of who's addressed this most estimable chamber? The late Queen, she came here, obviously, and various politicians. William Hague, Conservative Party leader and then Foreign Secretary, he was president here about 1981. Look above, there's the bar, and high up there you can see the Bard of Avon, William Shakespeare, who obviously didn't attend any university, apparently passed through Oxford on the way from Stratford-upon-Avon to London and would have down a pint of ale at the Bear pub. Is there anything else you might want to know about it without actually filming inside? It's got its own library, which I'll film inside another time. That was the library was the original debating chamber, and when the Union outgrew that, it moved over there. Right, so is the first Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. He was a President SWRD Bandaranaike. Benazir Bhutto, the only woman to serve as Prime Minister of Pakistan. She was assassinated in 2007, but she was president of this most august society. Right, so thank you very much for watching my video. So please make sure you subscribe on Patreon. And there's lots of exclusive content behind the paywall for my Patreon members. Make sure you donate with the greatest possible liberality to me on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye from the Oxford Union.